This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
It's the MIBs. Here come the MIBs.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time to grab your popcorn and your drink. Please take your seat and always silence your cell phones. The next showing of Place to Be Nation's Laughing Theater with Andy Atherton is about to begin.
Silence, guard against extraterrestrial violence. But yo, we ain't on no government list. We straight don't exist, no names and no fingerprints. Saw something strange, watch your back. Cause you never quite know where the MIBs is at.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the theater. That's right, the Laughing Theater. I am your host, Andy Atherton, and thank you for joining me tonight. We've got a great movie that ties into our summer movie season coming up. So, and I have a great guest. So let's not waste any time. It's a voice you may have heard on this show before. Actually, every episode. But we haven't had her on as a guest yet. So let's get her on. Get her on this show already. Let's go. Shut up, Andy, and introduce the damn girl. All right, here we go. She is one half of Geek and Sassy. Also joins me quite often on Pop Goes the Movies, Miss Miranda Berthold. Miranda, how are you tonight, my lady?
Good. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yes, yes. Thank you for joining me on the show. You and I get together quite often to talk about new movies, but today we're going to talk about a movie that's a bit older here on the theater. But before we get into that, so we're going to talk about Miranda and some of the other projects she works on here at Place to Be Nation. So you are one half of Geek and Sassy with the lovely Jennifer Smith. Jenny, who was on the last episode of Laughing Theater, we watched Dumb and Dumber and many shows with her before. So how did Geek and Sassy start?
Geek and Sassy is kind of the poking and prodding of Russell Sellers with the backing and support of one half of the Hard Traveling Fanboys. Not that the other half doesn't support us, but like in the beginning, I was really good friends with Russell and Greg.
Mm-hmm.
And they obviously were already at that point, they had Hard Traveling Fanboys and Sellers Point. And Russell was like on me all the time, like, you need to do a podcast. You need to do a podcast. So I was like, I'm thinking about it. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. And then I was like, I just can't talk by myself. Like that's, you know, some people can. And especially like little snippet shows and things like that. I think it's easy to talk by yourself for a full like 30 minutes or whatever.
It's not easy. I could tell you after that Aladdin review.
Well, it's not easy. I feel like it's a little more nerve wracking.
Yeah, you don't have anybody to bounce off of and stuff. Yeah,
so and to like keep that audience coming back for more. So I was like, Jenny, you should do a podcast. Jenny, we should do a podcast. And then Russell was like, do a podcast, do a podcast. Like almost like a kid going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And then so we had decided, okay, we're doing this, and like we figured out we were gonna do it. But we didn't have a name, believe it or not. We had no name, and we didn't know what the hell to do. And actually, our logo when we first started, because it came to us, I guess Greg mentioned to Brad at the time, like, hey, you know, we don't really have any. I think Steph may have done a podcast at that time.
Okay.
We didn't have anybody on the pop feed, basically, female. And so Greg went to Brad and said, yeah. And I thought it was going to be like, hey, give us a write-up of what you want to talk about. No, no. Like, we recorded our first podcast. We thought it was like an audition. So we sent it to I don't remember if we sent it to Greg and he sent it to Brad or if we just directly sent it to Brad with our write-up. And we didn't even have a logo. We used my mom's a nerd, which is a side project that's been of mine for like several years. And so we used my mom's a nerd logo because we were like, we basically, the first episode is us talking about like how we like what makes us geeky, what makes us nerdy, like how we became friends, how I pushed Jenny back in the comics, like things like that. And we sent it over, and then next thing we know, they're like, hey, your podcast is up. And we're like, what? Like, we didn't know what to think. And we were texting each other like, oh, my God, my voice. No, your voice is great. Oh, my God, my voice. And we actually did a poll. Jenny and I are in a group together called Geek Girl Brunch. Mm-hmm. It's actually an international group that our different chapters are ran independently throughout the world. And Jenny and I started one together here in our local area. So we have a group for that. And we actually went in there and we were like, hey, we're starting a podcast together. It'll be like pop culture, geeky things. Like, it's the two of us. We might interview some people, you know, kind of up on the air. And a friend of ours was like, I forget how she worded it, but she was like, sassy something geek. And we were like, that is cute. And she's like, or you could just geek and sassy. So we owe huge thanks to our friend Angela for coming up with our name.
Very cool. Yeah, it's a great name. Sure. I remember when you guys popped up on the feed. I was just a listener back then, too. And it was like, whoa, what is this? It's a couple of girls talking about some geek stuff. Oh, I can get down with this. And you guys are you guys are hysterical. I laugh so hard. Probably more at your show than any other show. Just because of the live read, how you guys do it, and just... Yeah, some of the topics just go off the rails, and it's hysterical.
I honestly think one of the things that's made us successful, and not to like toot our own horn, but at the same time, I think you kind of have to. For me, I know I can say this, and I feel like I can speak for Jenny too, that it's like a passion project for mm-hmm. us. We call it the job we don't get paid for that we love. And we do. Geek Sassy is known for taking hiatuses, but like in mom life, dad life, parent life in general, or life in general, that just happens.
Oh, yeah. I know.
But like, I think what has made us most successful is one, Jenny truly is like one of my best friends. I think you learn in life that you can have more than one best friend. As an adult, you learn that you can have more than one best friend. Mm-hmm. And it's the quality of your friends, not the quantity of them, which I wish I could have gone back and told like middle school, high school self that, even college self that. So Jenny has very much become my best friend. She's someone I can go to for mom stuff, life stuff, everything. And our tirades that we go off on are true like conversations. So if you were sitting in a room with the two of us just having conversation, like that's what our podcast is. And yeah. I think that's what makes it successful is that we are genuinely ourselves. We talk to each other on the podcast, how we would speak to each other in real life, to include our the cursing. and I think it also works is because sometimes we disagree. But we found a way to disagree about things without, you know, being at each other's throats. And we could disagree on the podcast and we can disagree in real life, but we always come back to the fact that like she will be forever, regardless of where this podcast goes. And no, that's not an omen. Like we would plan on doing this till like we die if we can, you know, but
hopefully
regardless of where this takes us, like in the future, I think it's brought us closer together, mm-hmm. honestly. And I think that's fantastic. And I'm super pleased sometimes, Brad, we once went to Brad and said, hey, we're afraid to ask, but we wanted to know if what we were doing was worth what we were doing. Like, yeah, we love to talk, but if like no one was listening or, you know, we decided like, okay, regardless of what he comes back with, even if one person is listening, well, we know two, cause we knew each other, then it makes it worth it. And, when Brad came back and we're like, just to let you know, you were the most downloaded, at whatever point this was. And I think we were only on like episode 3 or 4. I cried because I'm a crier, and Jenny laughed, and like we both like, I don't know, that kind of did it for us. And
yeah,
Geek and Sassy's been forever here now. Like, you're not getting rid of us, even though sometimes we disappear for a brief moment in time.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Trust me. After I've only been doing this on my own, it's I think about 10 months. No, it was, I don't know, 8 to 10. It's like 10 months or so, whatever it was. I was like last, was it August or whatever? I don't remember. But it was, my first appearance on a podcast was actually last April, right before WrestleMania. I was on Main Event, and I had been wanting to do podcasts for years. I just, you know, didn't have the time or the energy or whatever. Right. And finally, after talking to Scott Criscolo about it for so long, because we've known each other for years, he's like, just do it already. And, you know, I started by writing articles actually for the site. So that kind of gave me like an in to the nation. And then I started meeting people and all that stuff. And yeah, I mean, and then after I was doing it for a while, you know, I asked Todd, like, you know, if he had some of my numbers, and he gave me, you know, a download number. I was like, wow. I was like,
yeah, yeah, you get really shocked, because I think, we're our own worst critics.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I will say really nice things about Jenny, and she's says really nice things about me, and we both genuinely mean them about the other one. But when we're talking like about ourselves, like I said, when we first heard the first episode, we're like, oh my God, you know, like talking about our voices.
Oh, I still cringe when I edit the show sometimes. I'm like, oh, what?
I do. I'll listen back and I'll be like, oh my God, why am I so loud?
Why am I stumbling? Why don't I just shut up and end the show?
Yeah, and I do. But honestly, I've said it before on another podcast, but I'll say it again. Like, I can't say thank you enough to Russell and Greg. Russell for pushing us, Greg for, you know, supporting us. I mean, like I said, Russell did support us. It still does. They both still do. Mm-hmm. But Russell for pushing us and prodding us, Greg for supporting us, Brad for taking a chance on us, and then everybody here, everyone else at Place to Be Nation for completely embracing us and embracing that we're different and we're off the cuff and we can't give you a regular schedule and we can't guarantee that you won't get a 4-hour podcast. So I just, for me and Jenny both, like, thank you so much to everyone that like prodded us, poked us, supported us, took a chance on us, got us to where we are, because actually in September, I think it will be our third. It's either September or October. I'd have to look, but I think this will be our third anniversary.
Oh, awesome. We're going to have a little geek and sassy party.
Yeah, we do, actually. We usually have a little sort of extravaganza, so to speak, as we call it.
Ooh, well, everybody, stay tuned for that. Also, you know, we have a kind of a new show that's not really anybody, although I've kind of become like the de facto, I guess, ringleader of it, I guess, since I'm usually the one trying to wrangle people for it, which is Pop Goes to Movies.
You do that so much better than I could ever do it. I tried the last time.
Well, I try to follow Tim's lead, you know.
Tim's good.
The great Tim Cable, by the way, everybody. Yeah, so that's basically just, you know, we just talk about movies because we just love movies so much. Mm-hmm. Even the bird ones. But tonight we're not watching a bird movie. It's not a bird movie. Yes, I actually, that line has found its way to every show since, I have to tell you. I don't know how.
And this is not a bird movie.
It's no, it's not a bird movie. There are no birds in this movie at all.
We'll have to pay attention.
Yeah, we'll have to look for it. You know, I was watching Aladdin. I was like, oh my God, it's a giant bird. It's a bird movie.
Oh my God, it's a pig. Bird. Yeah, I know, and I even think I said it's not a bird movie. I stand corrected. There's a giant fucking bird.
Yeah, they did. They, instead of having a giant snake, they had a giant bird. All right, so Miranda, what are we watching tonight?
We are watching the first installment of the wonderful Men in Black universe.
Yes, from 1997. Wow.
97.
Well, 22 years ago.
Oh my God.
It's old enough to drink.
Oh my God.
Wow. So, how come you picked Men in Black?
Well, I had a really hard time picking, if you remember.
Yes,
he
did.
We talked about this, like, this has been planned for like months.
Yeah, I was like, you're like coming back to me. I'm like, okay, it's just a movie we're going to watch. You know, it doesn't, it's not a big deal.
But I narrowed it down to five of my most, and it was hard. So like, I'm not leaving any out, but I narrowed it down and I sent you five of my favorite, which I think I gave you Monty Python and Search of the Holy Grail.
Yes.
Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Mm-hmm. This, Men in Black, and Major Payne. So maybe I only gave you four.
All right. Well, you know, maybe we'll do one of those in season two.
Yeah. And that was a lot of scrolling, so I could be wrong. And like general like consensus was out of those like, hey, Men in Black, which some people are going to be like, that's not a comedy. Actually, if you look it up, it is classified as a comedy.
Ah, okay.
It is. I looked before I suggested because I was like, wait, that's not a comedy. It is actually classified as a comedy.
Cool.
So.
All right. So so when did you first see this movie? Did you go into theaters, a little young Miranda? Did you go see it or was it like home video?
How old would I have been in 97? I would have been, oh gosh. Yeah, sorry, I have to count. I have to do math.
It's my understanding there would be no math tonight on the podcast, but.
Right, yeah, never say there will be no math because somehow it always comes into things. I would have been 12 or 13.
Oh, you make me feel old.
Sorry.
I was like 25 when this came out.
But you know, when you're a kid and they're like, if we had like somehow crossed past them, our age difference would have been a big deal. But like, yeah. As an adult, it's not.
And, no,
like,
yeah.
You actually can still relate on experiences such mm-hmm. as this, you know?
Yeah.
So yes, I did see it in the theater. Mm-hmm. I was a youth group kid.
Okay.
And we went and saw it as a youth group together. Well, a bunch of us from the youth group went and saw it together, kind of deal. Yeah.
I want to say
I saw it then. And that's when like Will Smith was big. That's like when like the big Willie style, mm-hmm. I want to say, maybe that CD.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was big.
Yeah, getting jiggy with it, all that stuff. Yeah. About the same time. I think I probably went to see this with my then girlfriend, who then became my wife, and since my ex-wife. I think we went to see this because we were dating then. We weren't engaged yet. So, and I remember she loved Frank the Pug. So I have a feeling that we saw it together back then. But, yeah, I enjoyed this movie. It was a lot of fun. I mean, this was really, Tommy Lee Jones hadn't really done much comedy before this, I don't think. I mean, he had some, mm-hmm. like, comedic turns, like in, what was that movie with Steven Seagal, we're on the boat, where he's like, I'm just a cook. Tommy Lee Jones was, like, the bad guy. Yeah. But he had, Under Siege, he had a lot of, he had some funny lines in that, you know.
He really did.
So, I think it was a good pairing, the deadpan versus, like, you know, the kind of flamboyant, over-the-top, you know, street kid. So you saw the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think of the subsequent versions like Men in Black 2, Men in Black 3?
So the whole universe in general, fandom in general, is one of my all-time favorites.
Okay.
There's a lot of kind of like ick about 2. Some people really don't like it. I think more could have been done and fleshed out and kind of like brought, you know, handled a little bit better
mm-hmm.
into 2. But overall, I think it goes with the storyline when you see 3 and everything kind of goes together.
Yeah, 3 was much better.
You know, 3 will rip your heart out. Like I was actually just saying that to my mom earlier tonight, because I was telling her what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, she's like, I don't think I saw 3. And I was like, are you sure? Like, it rips your heart out.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. And she got to the part. I mean, I hate to be spoilery, but I'm going to get the same problem.
The movie came out how long ago?
If you haven't watched it by now, like, I'm sorry. Just whatever. Like, I think it's past the, I think we're all in agreement at Place to Be Nation, because we've all had multiple discussions about this, about what is, like, what is the cutoff?
Yeah.
I think Men in Black 3, 1, or 2, like it's
all. The only one you can't spoil is Men in Black International. That's the only thing you can't spoil right now. We haven't seen it yet.
Like if I came in and gave you spoilers about that, like I'd be being a bitch.
I'd be like, get off my show.
Right. But 3 at the end when they kind of tie everything together mm-hmm. and you realize that like Kay's always known Jay and like always known how he lost his dad and gone through all of that, then it's kind of like a knife stabbed to the heart. It also makes you realize like why Kay decided to kind of become father for Jay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and it came out 2012, so we're okay. We can spoil it. It's fine.
No, we're watching 1.
Yeah. So, what about the new one? You psyched for Mr. Hemsworth? Chris Hemsworth. There's multiple Hemsworths in Hollywood. And Tessa Thompson. Also, we got Liam Neeson's in it. And what's her face? Love her to death, too. Emma Thompson.
I think you have a cast that all are really great at one-liners. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that Hemsworth and Tessa can work together.
Mm-hmm.
Which somebody said, well, do we really want that? Is that just another Thor movie? You know what? Maybe not that it is. But at the same time, like, I thought they balanced each other out really well, and they banter really well. Kind of like Jenny and I banter really well. So I think when you have that, if it just works, it works.
Yeah, we should do classic movie posters with Geek and Sassy and have you guys dressed up in Ray-Bans.
I would be down for it. I mean, I might have to do just a tiny bit convincing, but I feel like she'd break down and do it.
All right. I'm excited. That's why we're doing this now, that we want to time it so that you guys can watch this, get psyched for the new movie. Also, though, you recently went to Universal with your son, and you went on the Men in Black Alien Attack, I believe it's called, right?
We sure did.
That's a fun ride.
We went at twice in a row. Did we go on that ride twice in a row? The Men in Black ride.
Yeah, twice. It was very good. I liked it.
Yeah, we went on it twice in a row.
The voice you hear in the background is Caden. Welcome to the show, Caden.
Yeah, he decided to come join because Mr. Andy said he could.
Yep.
I think I'll watch my show. You're good. And now I guess he's decided to come join the movie. He's going to watch the movie part.
All right, cool. It was a lot. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I went on it. Last time I went to Universal was, I think, 2006. And it was a lot of fun. I actually got a Frank the Pug actually while we were there because my daughter was about 4 at the time. My son wasn't around yet because I was his coming to this planet. Like, he's an alien, but before he was born.
Yeah. Because yours is a year younger than mine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's 2007 he was born.
Oh, yeah, because Caden is in 06. So, mm-hmm. We read it twice in a row. It was a fantastic, and I would just like to put this out there that, yes, I did beat everyone in our car.
Oh, great.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun. If you haven't been on it, basically you're in a little vehicle, I guess, kind of thing, and you got 3D glasses, and targets come up, and you shoot them. Aliens, like kind of like they do in the movies. Mm-hmm. If you've been to Disney, it's like Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. If you've been to some of the Six Flags parks, they have the Justice League ride, which we have at the one in New Jersey that's close by here, and we go on that like at least 3 or 4 times every time we go because we get the Flash Pass, and it's so much fun.
I love the rides like that. I love them.
Highly recommend it. So that's awesome. So before we get started with the movie, though, we just got to tell you about what's going on here at Place to Be Nation. After a 2-year hiatus, the dad cast is back. JT and Don talk a variety of annoyances, including potty training, lying, Nickelodeon shows, and more. Plus, we had Russell
and... made my day.
What? That's
you know how much I loved Dadcast, and I was like, bring it back.
Yes. I told Justin, I said, I'll be on Dadcast because we have very, our kids are at very different ages, so we can, see where we're each at.
Well, you know, they often ask for input in the past. They'd be like, what do you think about this show, or what do you think? And I somehow made my way as a opinion on that show multiple times.
That's all right.
Excellent show.
And the aforementioned Russell Sellers and Sam Neely, they delivered their season one finale of 90 to Nothing with a look at Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace, the only Star Wars movie released in the 90s. One of my shows, Year in Pop, we just had our 1975 episode. That was myself, my co-host Scott Criscolo, and the old school crew, which includes Mr. J. Arsenio D'Amato and Dr. G., we'll be back with 1976 before you know it. 75 was a great year. We ended with Jaws, so we had a lot of fun talking about that. And then, like I mentioned earlier, on Pop Goes the Movies, the last episode, I had a solo show because somebody was supposed to be on, but they couldn't make it for whatever reason. They fell asleep. Well, we won't mention names. We won't mention names, but I gave a solo shot of reviewing Aladdin, the new one, so... Hope everybody enjoyed it. The Heart Traveling Fanboys continued Avengers Month with an installment of Long Boot Hunters, looking at New Avengers Volume 1, Breakout. The NBA team dropped a double shot of episodes, including Gone Fishing Part 1 and an NBA Finals preview pod blast. And finally, This Week in Sports also found the Cowboy and J.R. D'Amato running down the NBA Finals, breaking down the series between the Warriors and Raptors, which I believe is now tied as of this recording. Also, be sure to keep an eye on our social media feeds as the reboot of the Greatest Song of the 80s tournament is starting soon. You going to participate there, Miranda? In the 80s tournament?
Sorry, I had apparently muted myself.
Oh.
That was my goal, was to participate. And I'm in the chat thread for it.
Yes. Well, you're gonna vote, though. We're getting close.
Pool A. Because, you know, I live voted Candy Tournament on Geek and Sassy.
Well, it'll be going on next time you guys have a recording. I can tell you that much. We're getting close to starting. So, just a lot of songs to go through.
Maybe Jenny and I can vote while we record next time.
Awesome.
If it's ready.
Yeah, it should be ready, hopefully. Also, go check out all of our great shows in the wrestling feed, but you're here in the pop feed, so we're going to keep it light and get to the movie. Mm-hmm. So we're both queued up to the Columbia Pictures lady. We call her Liberty Lady, and it says, you know, Columbia, and on the bottom it says the Sony Pictures Entertainment Company, I believe, I think I'm a little ahead, but all right, and we're going to hit play. Ready?
Ready.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And there it goes. And there we go. We see sky. So yeah, I love the font they use, actually. And this is a very...
I do too. It's the font that they yell at you for, like, when you're in business. Mm-hmm. And they're like, don't use this. You're a professional.
Yeah. I forgot Amblin produced this. And Barry Sonnenfeld, I think he had just come off of Get Shorty. I think I'm just coming out a couple years before this, yeah. Yeah, I heard a rumor, actually. David Schwimmer was the first choice to be Jay.
You told me that, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we did talk about that. Yeah, I couldn't believe it, because he would have been, like, whiny.
And you know what? The roles he's been in, whiny is what was needed, and he does a great job, but does not work. It would not work for this.
Yeah. Vincent D'Onofrio. Rip Torn was... Oh. Did you watch... you ever watch Larry Sanders? Show that not something that appealed to you.
I did, but not as much as others may have. And Tony Shalhoub. Oh, I love him.
He's always...
I always forget that's him.
He's always Antonio Scarpacci to me.
He's always Monk.
Oh yeah, I didn't watch Monk, but I watched Wings.
Oh yes, I did, but as a younger, you know.
Mm-hmm. Danny Elfman with a great score.
If you have any time you're like, score Danny Elfman, you're like, okay, I'm here for this.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
He's up there with, John Williams, who's the new guy? Does a lot of the, Michael Giacchino.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the guys you want to, you know, just call them up and they'll do a great job for you. With this giant, like, dragonfly flying around during the credits.
Right, and I was about to say, so I am aware of the dragonfly, but because it's so big and it's an alien, would be classified as a bird?
He's just trying to get that bird movie in there.
No, I really don't, because I'm the one that's like, it's not a bird
movie! It's not a bird movie! I feel bad for, like, Russell, Tim, and Jenny, because they did the Hard Traveling Fanboys after doing art. They're looking forward, looking back, and that fucking show was 4.5 hours. After we did 3.5 hours, so they were literally 8 hours of podcasting.
They did it the same night?
I don't know, maybe.
Oh, I was like, oh, okay, I did not realize that. Oh, wow.
Well, they didn't do it the same night, but they did it, like, not the same night, our show, but they did that. I'm like, they were on my show not long ago. That was that long. And then they did a 4.5 hour show. Which is a great show, by the way. I will pimp that show. I'm like 20 minutes left to go in the show, but those guys, great and infectious laughter because they were having a lot of fun. Also, the manager Todd Weber was on there as well. So you guys certainly check that out if you're talk about the MCU.
Yes.
So here we go. We got a van of what we think are illegal immigrants.
And, right. Which technically...
Illegal aliens, actually. Sorry, illegal aliens.
Yeah, illegal aliens.
And we don't really know how alien they are. And there's Border Patrol waiting for them.
I like how Border Patrol's just like, sup?
What's up, Nick the Dick?
Like, let's just be honest. This guy's kind of a...
Kind of one of those douchey cops.
Right. He was probably one of those that, like, in high school was not liked. So now that he's a cop, he has to, like, try to be a Billy Badass. Mm-hmm. You know? And he's like, I'm going to be an asshole to everybody because everybody was an asshole to me.
Oh, here go a couple of guys in suits show up.
My subtitles were being a butthead, so I think I'm just a couple seconds behind you here.
Okay. Actually, I have two. I have subtitles on my PlayStation and on the DVD. So now I gotta fix that. I'm like, why are there two sets of subtitles on? And he's sitting there. So we got who's going to be introduced as Kay,
right?
And it's Tommy Lee Jones, and he's talking to the lineup of the suspected illegal aliens. And he's talking in Spanish right now to this one guy who's got like a big, I don't know, a coat or whatever, and the guy is not understanding a word of Spanish.
That would be a dead giveaway when you're like supposed to be an illegal immigrant, mm-hmm. not just alien, but immigrant, and you're not speaking any Spanish or English. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that would kind of sort of do it there.
Yeah, and he probably basically puts the little prick Border Patrol guy in his place. Like, you have no idea what you're dealing with here.
And he really doesn't. Like, that's the funniest part.
You ever heard Division 6? There is no Division 6.
Kind of like they're still like, there is no Area 52.
Oh, and it's revealed. It was just a head. It's Mikey. When they let you in jail. Mikey's kind of cute. You know, he looks like he should be in like the Mos Eisley Cantina band.
Yeah. I could definitely see that.
Put up your arms and your flippers. And he's going to surrender, and then this idiot shows up. You know, prick border cop.
Right.
Mikey turns his eye on him. And gets pissed off. Oh, there's evil Mikey. Shoot him, and this guy is just old as fuck.
So old.
I know.
So
he's like, I kick him. I got to kick him. My God, this guy is. So finally, you know, there's Kay. And bye, Mikey.
Which it's like, I really didn't want to have to do that, but no. You know, here we are.
This guy's got blue shit all over him.
Like, all over him.
Like a Smurf, you know.
And I think what makes it even funnier is because it was done in 97, like, it does look way fake.
Yeah.
Like, it looks kind of, you know what it looks like? That slime all our kids were making mm-hmm. for a solid summer a few years ago. Or a year ago, whatever that was.
And here comes the rest of the people, and then we see the Neuralizer for the first time.
The Border Patrol posse entourage.
And they're all wearing Ray-Bans, but it's nighttime. What's going on here?
Right?
We should have Corey Hart playing in the background. I wear my sunglasses. Sorry, I'm drinking a little bit tonight. I'll give you a little silly for once.
It happens.
Yeah. Hey, your partner gets mad if you're not drinking when you're on a podcast with her.
She does, and she said once, I can't. She's like, I don't podcast well. She podcasts well either way.
Yeah, she does. She gets a lot on herself. So we get the first neuralizer.
We do.
He's like, I tell you that right now, especially you, Mr. Douchebag with the blue on you.
Check down that EMS section right back there.
And there's the old guy again, just sitting there going, I fucked up.
Right. Bless his heart. He's like, I'm just so done. Like, I can't do this. I'm over this. Like,
I mean, Tommy Lee Jones is probably in his, I don't even know how old he was back in 97, but he's not a young man.
No.
And this guy is old as fuck compared to him. Let's see. How old is Tommy Lee Jones? He was born, and I actually share a birthday with him.
You do?
Yeah. September 15th, 1946. So he was 51 when this came out.
He looks great.
Yeah.
He's still, I mean, to me, you can tell he's old, but I mean, considering how old he is now, so he was 51 then, so that means he's what, 73?
Yeah.
So, yeah. For everybody that's like, Tommy Lee Jones is old. Yeah, he's 73.
the guy who played D that he just neuralized was died in 2004.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So he was, yeah, when this came out in 97, that guy was 77 at the time.
God.
And now we have, James Carter, right? That's his last name, Carter?
I believe so.
And he's chasing down a perp. He's a, looks like an NYPD cop because he's got the thing around. So he's near Grand Central, and now it looks
probably he's not a beat cop. He's going to be something just a little bit more because he's, you know, in the off-duty clothes.
Yeah, he's like kind of undercover vice, right, whatever.
He's the one out on the street, like, yeah, making ties and you know, getting shit done.
Yeah, having informants and stuff.
Not that the other guy that was like, you go ahead, you got this.
Yeah, and this guy is like, takes out some kind of funky gun, and he's like, he's coming.
Right.
Oh, guy does a little flip hole. Now that's the, I believe that's the Guggenheim over there. That museum they're running in. It's famous for its shape in the city.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny too, as I was actually a couple weeks ago, as I mentioned on the Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Kristen Bell is the top of my Hachimachi list.
She is just the best.
Yeah, and I was watching her movie she was in with what's his face, Josh Duhamel, called When in Rome. And it takes place in the Guggenheim. So I was like, whoa. kind of ring a bell. And he's just running up there. You know that something's like a little off with this guy, the way he's just flying up things.
Right. Will Smith's face is like, what the fuck?
It's like, what's up?
And then I'm trying to remember where Wild Wild West was after.
Yeah.
Black, correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
he was like coming off the fame of it, and I mean, yeah, everybody knew who he was because of Fresh Prince, but he really hadn't done anything else, right? Not yet.
I think he had done Independence Day already.
Had he?
Mm-hmm. Independence Day.
I don't know why I thought it was the other way around.
Wild Wild West came out in 99.
Okay.
Let's see. Independence, because he was like Mr. 4th of July. Independence Day was 96. So, yeah, they...
Oh, okay. I thought it was the other way for some reason.
Yeah, Men in Black came out almost a year, exactly a year later.
Independence Day. Mm-hmm. Great movie.
Yeah. Not the sequel so much. That was horrible. And here we are at, like, a farm in upstate New York here, it looks like. And, he's talking about, he's come, some guy's mouthing off to his wife, basically, and says, here comes a flying saucer, and the only thing that pulls my weight around here is my goddamn truck. Boom, truck blows up.
Oh, Edgar.
Edgar. And it's Mr.
Vincent. So gross.
Vincent D'Onofrio. Really great actor, though.
He is, but, like, his character, like, his, like, person here.
Oh, when he becomes wearing an Egger suit.
Well, in general, like, Egger's an asshole and yeah. kind of a gross person. And then...
You kind of want to see... You don't mind that he gets a, you know... I don't even know what he gets there. It's like, you know, he gets skinned alive and you know, the bug puts his...
Yeah, I'm not sure how that whole process works because it is a P... Is it what... We're marking a PG-13, correct?
Yeah, PG-13.
So it's PG-13. So, one, which they did used to show more in PG-13 mm-hmm. than they do now, but it's PG-13, one. And then two... They never really say how Edgar becomes a suit, I don't think.
Well, I think he basically just rips him out.
Right.
He probably eats him.
It's like, I probably.
Yeah, and then this giant cockroach is wearing an Edgar suit.
Right, see, because he like pulls, the cockroach pulls him in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but you kind of want to applaud the cockroach because you're like, the fact that you just sucked everything out of him, like so perfectly. Like, my son is clapping right now.
Egger, what was that? That was the great Savon, how do you say her name? Savon Fallon. She was on SNL back then.
Oh, that's right.
And he comes in, he's like, I need sugar and water. Yeah, if it's going to be like a weird part for Vincent D'Onofrio to do it.
Buddy, honestly... I can't, looking at it now, like, who else would you have had to do Egger?
Oh, God, I have no idea. Just drinks down the sugar. Oh, God, I just see it go, it's like, you know, like a pixie stick. It's like your hand, you're hanging off your bones.
Which, you watch him drink this.
Is that better?
So you want to know, it kind of makes me wonder, as far as, like, filming-wise, what did he actually drink?
Oh.
You know?
No, no, they could put anything in there, as long as it didn't dissolve, I guess.
Oh, true. Well, you see it when he's drinking it. There's, mm-hmm. like, a whole, which, that would be accurate. There would be that much sugar in the bottom of the cup still. Oh, my God.
What, you just saw him pull his face?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to pause it for 1 second because I saw that already, and I'm going to try to... All right, so now we're in the... I'm in the cop. I'm in the room. We're talking to Jay. Are you there yet?
No, he's rolling out of his station.
Okay.
It's fine. He's rolling out. He's like, just pushing the spaceship.
Yes.
He's like, I need a spaceship. The cow's just standing there just mooing. No big deal. Just see this shit every day. Yeah, I've got, now they're questioning
Jay. All right. Jay. So, yeah, I paused it to let you catch up.
At this point, it's still James.
Yes, he's still James.
He's Jay, but.
He's being a little wise ass. I'm making fun of the chubby cop. If you weren't half the man, I am half the man you are. I love that line. Is you up in my damn face? Get out of my business. There's Linda Fiorentino. A little hachi-machi action there. This poor woman gets neuralized like 1,000 times.
I know, right? I do genuinely want to know, like, what would happen to your brain if you were neuralized multiple times like that.
And in comes Kay and unhooks the security camera, so you know shit's about to go down. And he's starting to explain what was going on. It was gills. He was breathing. He said, the world's coming in. He goes, did he say when? He's like so deadpan.
I love how Will Smith still at this point is like, yeah, he said the world was ending. Like, what the fuck? Like, he doesn't even, he's like, whatever. Just, you know.
Oh, good work, Edwards.
Ha ha ha. My whole thing is, he doesn't question this. He just, like, gets in his car with this agent. He's like, sure, yeah, I'll go with you.
Well, the guy kind of, I don't know, when they said his paperwork was done, and, you know, he has to have some kind of clearance to get in there.
Right, of course, of course.
You got to show a badge or something.
Right, like, you wouldn't get to, you can't get to that room, that that point in a police department without, you know, being let back, buzzed back. Something.
It's like one of their first exchanges. Now, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to do my thing. Is put your thing down. Go ahead. There he is, the aforementioned Tony Shalhoub. Looking very sleazy.
Oh, yeah. He looks so tiny here. Like...
Why don't you show him the imports? He's like, oh, shit.
He's got crazy eyes, like yeah. They do to, oh, crap, I can't think of his name right now, in the Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, Steve Buscemi?
Yeah. Which Buscemi already has crazy eyes, but they made him, like, worse.
Blam! Don't make me kill you. You warned him. You insensitive prick. Oh, the head's growing back.
Right.
Now, that's a kind of cool effect. Now, must that stings.
That really was.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, now we get to see the guns.
It's impressive. If you go on the ride at Universal, mm-hmm. they actually have, like, as you're going into the ride, you're walking, like, down to it. Kind of like you walk down to rides at Disney or mm-hmm. any of those. They have a lineup of the different weapons.
Yeah.
Like this, and they have them labeled. And
you should. The noisy you kids. Sold this thing, you piece of shit.
Right. He's so deadpan about it, too. That's what's great about Tommy Lee Jones is he's just so deadpan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just great casting all around in this movie. Yeah, and I'm going to come back talking about them Rolexes.
Well, so it's like, I gotta have some sort of word here. I can't just walk out like this. I can't do this. This fashion is killing me, though.
Oh, what Will Smith's wearing?
It's like, I'm in prison jumpsuit with a big Abraham crop top football shirt.
Yeah, it's very, very 90s.
Oh, yeah, so very much.
And there he goes. He just got neuralized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they're in like a Chinese food restaurant.
Which is the most interesting restaurant. Like, you see Chinese restaurants like this on TV shows all the time. Pushing mm-hmm. Daisies had one very similar, which yeah. makes you wonder if it's not, like, the same one. But never in my life have I actually seen one like this.
Oh, they have these in New York like this.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yeah, I think this is an actual Chinese restaurant. They have stuff like this, like, with the fish tanks and that uh-huh. kind of stuff. Yeah, this looks like the Village.
Ours has, like, little white... They'll have, like, ponds and little waterfalls with, like, goldfish and stuff in it, but nothing like this.
No, I know. They have stuff like that in the city, trust me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I love how basic the card is.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, cockroaches.
But you know what? How much funnier is it that it's a cockroach... You know, it's an exterminator in a cockroach truck?
Yeah.
This poor guy.
He's just doing his job.
Right.
He has no idea that that's a giant cockroach in an Egger suit.
Right. You know, like, can you imagine being an exterminator and being like, oh, I love my job. I'm great at it. I do awesome. And then you come in and you're confronted with a giant fucking cockroach, like double your size.
Yeah, Billy the Exterminator is lucky he wasn't around then. I've had to format a bunch of those shows. This is a good kill, yeah. Keaton's got a good point, right? That's what he says, a good kill?
Yeah.
Getting killed by, bug exterminations.
Yeah.
Now, looking at it now.
Should have carried shotgun shells.
Yeah. How the hell does he fit that thing in there?
I don't know. I'm thinking it's like a TARDIS effect.
Oh, okay.
But it's just bigger on the, because you notice that, like, we've panned away from that now. Like, he's trying to fit it in here. And obviously he does, but, I mean, I'm assuming TARDIS or, like, you know how a mom can have, like, a shit ton of things in her purse and you're like,
you don't know how it all gets in there?
Like a Mary Poppins bat.
Yeah, he's in, he's got the jeans on, he's got the Timberlands.
Then, yeah, those, that pull, roll, like, where your jeans are pushed up, like, above the Timberlands like that. And you gotta say it, Timberlands.
Yeah. I never wore mine like that back in the 90s.
I didn't either, but then again, I grew up on a farm, so I wore, like, the really dark brown ones.
Oh, no, I actually did. I wore Timberlands like that back in college.
I had the dark brown ones. That was real popular where I was from.
Mm-hmm. They're coming. Now, all these other dudes in here, all military, dressed up, nice suits, and, and then he comes in looking street.
Right. Which, if you pay attention, their pants are all done like this, too, because that's how the military does it. They do, several branches do roll them up, push them in their shoes.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, my husband used to have to wear his like that all the time. I like how he's the only one that has a question.
Why are we here? Because we're the best of the best of the best. And he looks at him.
I like how he looks at him like, you fool.
Yo, Captain America here. We're the best of the best, sir. With honors. He's got no clue why we're here.
That's just funny to me.
Y'all ain't laughing now.
Tommy Lee Jones back there. I've wanted one of those chairs for like the longest time.
Oh yeah, a little egg chair.
I never got one. And I'm going to tell you, I doubt it's very comfortable.
It doesn't look comfortable.
No, it doesn't.
Of course, he rips the packet open in the test. And then he's like, oh, it's sealed.
That would be something I would do.
I gotta break my pencil.
this he's having like all the luck I have when I would like go take my SAT.
Yeah. There's nowhere to go. This is like one of those like it's not about the test, it's about how you handle it. Like, they give you
how are you handling the stress of it? What are you doing?
How are you supposed to answer these questions when you're sitting in this chair right here and you got a pencil? And they're all busting through and nowhere to lean. And he's got the broken pencil. And finally, he'll get hit in the head with it. He's like, you know what? There's a fucking table in this room.
I love how he's the only one. So, if you graduated West Point with honors, mm-hmm. you're pretty bright, right?
Yeah.
And all the other guys, if you look at all the, the guy on the far, end that you can, barely see, they don't really show his face. Mm-hmm. He's got all of that brass on him, so to speak. All the commendation. Mm-hmm. He's not, you're not a dumb person and make it that far. So you want to be like, what the heck?
Yeah, now they
do. This scene right here, this is actually part of the, is what the ride is like. Mm-hmm. You're just in a thing that carries you around.
And they're all firing away, and then he shows one shot. So, Edwards, what the hell happened? He's like, I hesitated.
I love Zed.
Why'd you feel little Tiffany deserved to die? He's got a hole in her head. She's the only one that was dangerous. This guy's just working out. How am I going to feel if somebody comes into the gym and shoots my ass while I'm on the treadmill? This other guy, he's the only
one that realized this was mm-hmm. set up they look like aliens, but they're not. You got to look at what's going on. Yeah. Like, basically consider your surroundings.
Yeah.
Middle of the ghetto, a bunch of monitors, quantum physics book. She's about 8 years old.
It's about to touch some shit. And I appreciate it if you ease off my back about it. Or do I owe her an apology? That was a good shot, though, right?
And that's honestly, guys, what makes starts making this movie like comedy gold, in my opinion. It's the little like lines like this.
He's around, you know, ran down a cephalopod on foot.
Like all the other guys are back there, like talking and like they think he's a dumbass.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna have no memory of it anyway in a few minutes.
Right.
An eye exam. He's just admiring a shot on the little girl.
What I love about this is it holds true. Mm-hmm. Like, they used to get questionable shots and stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. And very seldom do people, like, pop up and are like, no, I'm not doing that. And they're like, eye exam. Okay. And the guy's just, like, line up and, like, boot on out. Like, I don't mean that as, like, a wisecrack that, like, all soldiers line up and do what they're told. But, yeah. Like, it's just funny. The difference in him questioning everything and them, they're so used to like routine and procedure and you're told what to do that makes it like so great because he does question everything.
Damn, this is funny.
He brought the top hits of flowers.
Yeah. So he's basically giving them the lowdown on what really is going on. Here's the Casablanca, same thing except no Nazis. The World's Fair was a cover for the landing? Yeah, why else do we hold it in Queens? So basically, he's given the whole backstory.
Right.
This is based, what is it called? Damn it, I write screenplays, I can't even think of it off the top of my head. Exposition. This whole scene is exposition.
He's just basically given a brief introduction. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you want to get some coffee? All right. We get to see the worm guys for the first time.
And this is my favorite part.
Hey, shit, okay.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Hey, Zentato, hey. They're just sitting there smoking, having coffee.
They have them sitting in there when you're, like, walking on your way.
Mm-hmm.
I do wish they had, like, talked or moved when you walked by. They don't.
It's very cool animatronics. Hopefully they're in a new one. How about the Zabata?
They actually said they were moving and talking.
Yeah, huh?
There's some actually pretty good, like, touching moments. Mm-hmm. Throughout the movie as well.
Yeah, this is one of them kind of like where he's like, you know, talking about like really what the real deal is about the aliens and, you know, everybody thought the Earth was flat and 15 minutes ago you knew that people were alone on this planet. Not anymore. And then he gives them the catch.
And if you're going back and watching this now after you've seen 2 and 3, especially mm-hmm. after you've seen 3, mm-hmm. it kind of like I don't know. You get a different vibe, a different feel to this scene.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, you got to sever all human contact. You got till sunrise.
And from the sounds of his life mm-hmm. and what we know about him now, like there's really not much for him to sever. So he's like, okay.
Yeah, that's probably why they picked him.
Right.
And he thinks long and hard about the length of a dissolve.
Right?
He's like,
How long does it take a really frustrated mom to open a bottle of wine? That's how long it takes him to think about. Well, just a little bit longer, actually. Because, I mean, he sits there for a while.
Mm-hmm. Now he shows up again. New York. The Egger suit's making his way to Manhattan.
In the exterminator's truck.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how he fits it in.
Oh, yeah.
See? But still, to me, even popping that edge up like that, that is still not enough room. I am sorry.
And he's like, walks in like he's the man. Like, what's up, Pops?
That outfit be killing me.
Now all the fun nicknames start. Okay. I just remember, you pick me, so recognize the skill. I don't want anybody call me son, kid, sport. Cool? Whatever you say, slick. As of right now, they mean precisely dick.
I mean, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
How very 60s.
Yeah. And there are the worm guys again. And
it does make me curious what the inside of the bureau is going to look like from the international standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, what's, again, I have some problems with that title, but I get it. By the way, isn't that the guy that played Lurch?
Yeah, and I think he...
Adam Stanley.
Yeah. And the last two, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now they got that animated movie coming out.
I'm very excited for that.
Now he shows him all the little gadgets.
Right.
I guess I'll have to buy the White Album again.
Gonna replace CDs soon. That didn't happen.
Yeah, I remember those digital audio tapes were supposed to come out.
Yeah.
Hey, what's this?
I actually remember like the super big discs.
Mm-hmm.
We used to watch stuff on those when I was...
Oh, laser discs, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, watch it. And the ball, now that thing's going all over the place.
I like how they're all like, and they all like, no, this has clearly happened before, because they're all like watching it, and then they all lean at the same time to the right or to the left.
I'm going to pay for that.
Which, I want to just be honest, a beaker is really fucking expensive, so I don't know how he's going to pay for that, that he just like demolished there. But I think the best part about that whole scene is the people that, like, are working and just know to lean. Like, they just lean one way or the other, and they just keep on typing or writing or sorting.
They're all like,
Sorry, y'all. I was an accident. Sorry, y'all.
Here, meet the twins. And Bob. I think they're at the right, aren't they, the twins?
Yeah, they are.
And they're showing you all the aliens. For sure. Itzhak Mirazi, Stallone, Al Roker.
Was George Bush up there? I don't remember.
He might have been.
I think he is.
Nah, in third grade, I said, everyone said I was crazy, but I swear my teacher was like from Venus. Like, well, Jupiter, actually. One of the moons.
Well, we're speaking of planets. You want a really good dad joke?
Okay.
So first, let me tell you that there is a moon. Now, Uranus has like a bunch of moons, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the moons is named Miranda. So guess what? I'm a moon on Uranus. I told that to a group of fifth and sixth graders. And I was like, oh shit, I'm gonna get text messages because I told a bunch of kids I was a moon on Uranus. I learned that when I was really young, and trust me, I have continued to use it.
Yeah, how can you? I mean, you know, it was
right?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds cooler than anybody named Sharon saying I'm a moon on Pluto.
Right? That just doesn't have the same ring.
No.
Okay, so a moon on Mars is named after you. Ah, cool. It's not named after me, but I could pretend it. As a kid, I was like, yeah, it's named after me. It's not even spelled the same. It's like the common spelling of Miranda. Okay, they're completely just deleting his life here.
Yep.
What I don't understand, though, is why does he got to take his earring out?
Can't have anything that's memorable. Can't say, like, there's an earring. And there's probably
the big guy with the earring or yeah, something like that.
That's probably the most famous line from the movie right there.
Oh, yes.
You know, what's the difference between you and me? I make this look good.
And you know what? For a lot of girls at that point in time, they were like, heck yeah. Actually, Will Smith has aged very well. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Oh, here comes the Edgar suit.
I like how he doesn't know how to. He's like, prophetess arm. He's like,
Well, he's got like, 10, 100 legs, whatever it is. You can only use two of them.
Right. But it's like he's like posing, like he's propping. He's like, I don't know how to lean here. Okay, I'm gonna lean here.
And he's stalking this nebbishy little looks like Jewish jeweler.
Yeah.
Who's got a cat. That cat.
I felt so bad for that guy.
Well, it's yeah, but it's not him, really. Well, I mean, but upstate New York. That's it's so funny. It's like once you get over like the Tappan Zee Bridge, New York is not the New York you think it is. It's further up you
and
go.
I have
it's
a
just
lot of friends that are from New York, and they're like, you say something to them, and they're like, oh, that's upstate. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's more in New York is farms than city.
Right.
Yeah, we would always make fun of people in college. Like, oh, we're from New York. You're not from New York.
Actually, one of my friends, she is from New York, but she is from, like, farm country.
Yeah, you say you're from New York
City. She's like, no, not that New York. Like, it takes me a while to get to New York City. No. Like,
yeah. It takes a while to get to New York City, period.
It's like trying to get into D.C. Takes a minute.
Mm-hmm. It's still a train. It depends on where you go from, anyway.
Well, when you're trying to get into D.C. and you're in a charter bus, takes a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I love this part so much.
Don't ever push the red button.
Very much like Guy Ritchie, the way that was done.
Jeez, $72. Where the hell do you take the cab from?
Right. I mean, you can take this is a 97, and you can take an Uber from Milwaukee to Chicago for like $150.
Wow.
So I'm like, how the hell, like watching this now, I'm like, $72? Like, then it just made you go, as a kid, you're like, I'm never going to New York. I can't afford that. Yeah, there's Lurch.
Yep.
And sweet little kitty.
Mm-hmm. The cab drivers on the planet are terrible. They're implying that they're cab drivers on whatever planet they're from.
I like how, so it gives you subtitles, obviously, because they're speaking in like an alien language. But for my actual like subtitle thing that Amazon does for me, it just says speaking in alien language. That was the weirdest contraption ever, by the way.
It's so funny. It's like, I make pierogies often. You know, I'm actually, my mother's family is Russian and Polish.
Oh, okay.
So we have pierogies a lot. And every time I say it the same way, oh, pierogi, oh, boy.
I've only ever had pierogies maybe two or three times in my life.
Well, I mean, the ones that you buy in the freezer section, Mrs. T's, are okay. But you gotta go like.
Oh no! Like I've only ever had like real pierogies, yeah, like one or two times.
Yeah, the real ones are really good. The roaches on the food.
In South Alabama, those really big ones that you see there, that everybody are like, those are fake. No, they're real. Down here, they call them palmetto bugs. See, mm-hmm. See, I suddenly feel bad for both of them. Like I got really, that part bothered me.
And the cat's like, oh, what'd you do?
The cat's like, fuck you, bitch. It's like, that was my person, asshole.
I know. He grabs the, what he thinks is important, the diamonds and stuff.
Right. What he thinks is, you know.
I love how he's trying to walk. He's like, nope, I'm good. I'm okay.
There's a scene in the show on Netflix, Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh, yeah.
Where the husband's like having a moment with something and he walks kind of like that.
Yeah. I only got into like the first couple episodes of season 3. I got to finish that.
I do as well. But, you know, they're canceling it, which is just dumb as crap.
I heard that other series, the one with Christina Applegate and Linda Cardellini, is really good.
I haven't watched it, but even my grandmother was like, you must watch this.
Yeah, there's like a twist at the end of every episode, I heard.
This was my worst nightmare, the scene we're on now, when I was pregnant.
And the Twin Towers are in the background.
I know, that is, you see movies now, and like then it was nothing to see it back there.
Mm-hmm.
But you see it now, and it's like, oh, wow. Like,
we used to have to, in you know, in work and stuff, we used to have to flag it for a while because people didn't want to see it. You know, they don't want to show it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very sensitive. I mean, they had that first Spider-Man movie was coming out, and they had the trailer, you know, had the image of a spider web between the two towers that a helicopter gets caught in. Like, a helicopter is, like, you know, is gonna crash, and he throws up a web between the Twin Towers, and they had to pull it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is so funny how he's like, oh.
He didn't beat this shit. Like,
by this
alien baby thing is just, like, beating the shit out of him, jerking him all over the car. And honestly, it's kind of a cute little thing.
It is a kind of cute, like, little squid-looking thing. Your name is Reggie. Reg? It's a squid.
I like how he's so, like, happy.
And then, oops, spits up.
Then it throws up on him, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. Right there. Blech!
Yeah, it's happened all over.
Honestly, it's no different than, like, a human baby. Like, that happens. And yes, there's that much vomit sometimes.
Oh, yeah, trust me. My daughter had really bad reflux. I used to call it, like, exorcist baby. Yep.
Caden, too. It was pleasant.
Yeah, I mean, we were on the Dr. Brown's bottle with the cereal, and she had to sit for half an hour after she ate. Yeah, it was not fun. Outgrew it at 2, though, which was great. Now she's this 17-year-old thing.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. No, she's a good kid. She's really obsessed with baking. And, you know, she's into art, basically graphic design. She always wants to go to Michael's. And she watches, you probably know of this, Nerdy Nummies. You ever heard of that?
Sounds familiar.
Oh, my God, that's right up your alley. The only thing is, like, all the baking and stuff like that, it's all, you know, Pokemon, Star Wars. Yeah, she loves it. She's always watching it and got the cookbook and everything.
I will have to check this out.
Yeah, Nerdy Nummies. Yep, they're upstate New York now visiting Mrs. Egger. I didn't even know what his name was for so long because of the way she pronounces it.
Like, yeah, she says it so weird.
Egger. What the hell is that? She's always good at playing these white trash roles, by the way. She was the white trash and the striptease.
There are just certain people that, like, fall into those roles. My husband and I were talking about that yesterday. I forget who we were talking about, but it was, and I brought up, like, Ray Liotta. And he's like, yeah, he always plays that, like, typical, you know, person.
I think
it was somebody that was in Godzilla, because I saw Godzilla yesterday. It's like, yeah, he always plays a such and such role. And yeah. I was like, well, yeah, that's
scientist.
Like Ray Liotta, for example.
Or him and the turkey are pushing Chantix.
Right.
I don't know which commercials are freakier, him or the turkey.
I honestly think the turkey. That picture Edgar.
She's kind of happy that he's gone, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, they never come out and say it, but apparently he was not a good...
No.
You know, you could tell by the way he talked to her. Mm-hmm. He was not a good husband. Like, I don't know if he was abusive, but he was definitely, like, an asshole.
That's the first...
She's going on and on about the type of water. Oh, Beatrice, that's her name.
Yeah.
What a fitting name.
Beatrice and Edgar.
But it just, like, in this situation with that wallpaper, I love this part.
You just make up a new one? That weak-ass story? Now go out to the store, get yourself some dresses. Because he never appreciated you. He ran off.
In fact, you know what? You kicked him out.
You just have some nice
dresses. He's like, go to Bloomingdale, some nice dresses, some shoes.
And hire a decorator quick, because right. Damn. Damn.
I like how she's just like,
huh?
Okay.
When do I get my own flashy memory messer upper thing? And you grow up, you get to figure.
I wanted to buy one at Universal, but mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. Universal needs to take note because they all look incredibly cheesy.
Yeah.
Like, I have a friend that makes props and cosplays, and he's made a couple of mine. I was thinking to myself while I'm sitting there looking at this nebulizer, mm-hmm. that as you come up, you know, in true Universal and Disney fashion, as you come off the ride, there's
exit through the gift shop. Exit through the gift shop.
Especially the themed ones like this. And that nebulizer that's like $24.99, I'm like, this looks crappy.
Yeah. Oh, God. You think that looks? But wait till the build your own lightsaber, Galaxy Edge. They're running like.
We actually did the build your own lightsaber.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did it a couple years ago because we went for Caden's 10th birthday. So we were like, whatever, build your own, have fun. His aunt and uncle were with us, and they told him like, that's your birthday present. Mm-hmm. We're gonna like that was their goal is for Caden to build his own lightsaber, and they said whatever he wanted.
Wow. No, I mean like they have the new ones though. I think it's supposed to be like fancier.
Oh, the new ones, yeah.
Yeah, $200 they're going to run.
We're waiting to go back until they open, fully open Galaxy's Edge.
Mm-hmm. We're going, we actually have a Universal trip planned next summer, and we're going to take a day though just to go to Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So now we really get first chance to really meet Laurel. She's the often neuralized... whatever you call them, crime lab person, and she's examining and finding
a coroner.
Yeah,
well, I don't know if she's the coroner or if she's
medical like, examiner. That's what she
medical
is.
Medical examiner. There you go.
Like an eye zombie.
Yeah.
And now she's finding like, what is going on here?
I like how she like. Doesn't even freak out. She's like, I don't even know what you are, but okay.
And the cat's there.
Degrees.
Unless they confiscate, like she's recording now her notes, and unless they confiscate her notes every time they neuralize her, she's got stuff that she's finding. So maybe that's...
I'm going to assume that would be part of, you know...
Part of cleanup,
and that they're aware that she does that, and so that mm-hmm. they take her notes. They even, because obviously if they take, especially if they are taking bodies from her, then there would be no reason for her to have notes.
Wow.
So she wouldn't go looking for them later, you know?
Mm-hmm. Then I was supposed to do the next episode with Justin, and he picked another movie that had Linda Fiorentino in it. Oh. I just put that together. The only two that people could probably name off the top of their heads. And now she's showing him the what's up with these bodies.
I like again how he walks in and she's just like, okay, here you go. Like she's not like freaking out yet. You know, she's still not like she's just like, okay, this what's going on?
And there's the kitty cat.
Oh, my son just came up with a theory, mm-hmm. fan theory.
All right.
He says, what if that's the cat from Captain Marvel?
They're the same hair color.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They're both aliens and they're same hair color, is what he's saying. Hmm. Like, we never, you know.
Well, that's Orion.
Right.
And
he said, or they're just related somehow.
And Captain Marvel does take place in the 90s.
This is true.
What? Mind blown.
Right. Don't you debunk my theories.
I'm not debunking it. I'm giving them more.
I was giving him this face.
My cat looks like that, too.
Oh, that's right. We talked about that when we talked about Captain Marvel.
Yeah, my one cat. And I have two cats.
Ugh. Oh, I forgot. You do have two cats.
The monster, George. Yeah, I'll send you a picture. Literally, like, my kids go to school, right? I walk them to the thing, and I have my dog with me. And then I come back, and, you know, I feed the animals. And then, literally, I go upstairs, and there's this giant cat sitting on my bathtub. I'm like, can you get out, please? I need danger.
He's like, no.
He's like, no, I'm George. So what do you think? She's got a Queen of the Undead thing. No, about the body. Oh, it's a great body. Dead body, you idiot.
But again, still shows the difference between J and K. Mm-hmm. Like, a little deader.
You're up, Slugger. Well, there you find something on the ear. Nobody ever taught the alien about Truman nose hairs, I guess. Ear hair, I mean.
Right. Oh. And honestly, this is when I felt, you know, earlier I was like, I end up feeling really bad for this guy. And I do. I feel really bad when he gets, like, stabbed in the neck at the table. Mm-hmm. But then I have a lot of questions when you get to this part. Like, if he's all mechanical like that, then how did stabbing him in the neck?
I don't know. Maybe he's plugged in, like he feels whatever the body feels. I don't know.
I guess. I'm just thinking because it's metal. Like, mm-hmm. You know.
I don't know.
But then you feel even worse for him because you see how little he is. Yeah. And, you know.
Aw, he's a cute little alien that's about to die.
I know.
Orion's. What's the word?
Everybody thought he was doing but he's actually doing ba.
Belt.
Yep. Aw, poor little guy.
I don't know. I mean, that the Edgar suit knew, you know, how to kill him, so.
Right.
He obviously knows something.
Which that is a huge broad statement to prevent war, the, you know, the galaxies on Orion's belt. That is a huge, like, broad.
Your Achilles aren't going to like this. He was one of the royal family. I love how he doesn't warn him when he's about to do the flashy thing.
Right.
He just, like, takes out the glasses. He's like, oh, shit, I got to put mine on.
I like how he's, like, it's only been, like, a day, but he understands what the glasses mean. Because it makes you wonder how many other agents were brought in and accidentally forgot their glasses and poof.
It's like, oh, shit. He almost didn't have them on. I love that. Never heard before. How many times did you flash your finger?
Oh, see, so that services, like, says they'll be here in a minute. They are probably the ones that, like, remove the, because you were saying, what are they doing?
Yeah.
They're like,
they're the cleanup crew.
Right.
Or damage control for you Marvel fans. She's like, I wonder if she just count all the nicknames he gives them. Give her a new memory. Make it a happy one. Just shut this damn kid up.
Right. It's like, I've been doing this, you know, for years. See, here he is, throwing a tantrum. Here's Edgar in the Edgar suit. He's throwing a tantrum because he's trying to get this thing open. Which, if I remember correctly, it opens just, like, super easily, actually.
Yeah.
It just, like, twists off or something. But I guess when you're a cockroach in a suit, you can't, you kind of probably don't have the...
God, how much are those diamonds worth?
Right? So, like, he's freaking out. He's pissed. But, like, do you know how many millions of dollars you just dumped in the bottom of an exterminator truck?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're real. They were, he was giving them as a, weren't they in the middle of it was a gift, right?
Yeah, it was a gift to whoever. Yeah, now they get to take a break.
Blue warp speed. Please report to the front desk. This is where you start to learn a little bit about who Kay is, and we're kinda.
Yeah.
You see a little into to Kay, and
well, she's close by too. She's up in Massachusetts, looks like.
You know that the computer has to tell Zed, or, you know, there has to be, it's kind of like working anywhere. They know what you're doing.
God, I hope not.
Well, I mean. But, like, they have to know that he looks up, you know, people every often, and he can't be the only one.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Maybe. There's a junior. There's another one that he didn't say no to, but he was probably like, are you kidding me?
Maybe clears his search history. I don't know. Deletes his cookies. I don't know. 37-hour day. I don't know.
Cachet at work to make shit work all the time. Like, we purposely have to do it to make it work.
Yeah, we had one of our systems. They had to reboot and fix the cache. So we do something, a little trick in television. We do something called time tailoring, where we have our own system called Tempo. But basically, you play, we send it through a show through the system, mm-hmm. and we play it back increased by 3%, and it gets rid of a minute out of an hour show, and you won't even notice it.
Interesting.
Because it's like removing like every whatever frame. So it doesn't actually, yeah, it's not noticeable to the viewer, but I guess it's another minute worth of advertising and promos.
Hmm.
See, you learn something new every day.
I do.
This is where Kay is like, you know, Jay's trying to be like all nice, like, yeah, it's better to have loved and lost than never loved at all. And he goes, try it.
Try it, right.
Yep. There you go. Now all there's a mass exodus going on here.
Yeah, like they've other aliens are realizing like something's happening, and they're like going to get the fuck out. They're going to leave.
Shit's going to go down.
Basically.
Uh-oh, Thanos is coming. What?
This is the Starfleet Enterprise.
Oh boy. And Kay, give Junior a gun. Give the kid a weapon.
So already they've gone like totally against. He's been called Junior, Kid. This is hands down. I know I said the worm guys are my favorite part, and they really are, but this is hands down. Like,
he gets a noisy cricket.
Yes. That was another thing I almost bought, was a noisy cricket, but it looked so retarded for $34. Wow, kid! Like, just waving the noisy cricket around, and he's like,
I feel like I'm gonna break this thing!
Right? What's this damn thing gonna do? Here's Edgar.
Bring it in the store.
I like how he, like, breaks the glass, but then, like, slings his arms around, like, he doesn't know what to do with them. And again, we're just destroying, like, millions of dollars worth of jewelry right now. Yup.
You're gonna asshole tow truck driver.
Well, isn't that kind of one of those, like, welcome to New York?
Yeah. And Edgar's feeling out.
Edgar's dumb, but he's just figured something out.
Yeah.
This is those faces he makes.
This is the one part of the movie where I actually rooted for Edgar, because this guy's a dick. This
he really is.
You can tell him that at the impound. He's like, he threatens him and he goes, please. And he shows him his gun. Meanwhile, there's J&K, and they have no idea that there's a bug right behind them.
I mean, because if they'd physically seen Edgar, then yeah. They would have immediately been like, oh, shit. Now they're like, oh, wait. Damn!
Damn! What is it? What? The noisy cricket has some firepower to it.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good shot.
He is.
Oh, Edgar's taken off in the tow truck, but no one had a ship. Oof. Damn.
I know. He knows what's going to happen, right? This is now the third time he shot this thing, but he still continues to do it.
It kind of gives him like, hey, we don't, you know, fire our weapons. He goes, there's a, you know, an alien thing. There's always that. But, you know, we have to keep it a secret or else these people are going to freak out. So put your shit away. Oh, the exodus continues. You ungrateful pricks.
With their, like, see their, like, cartons of Marlboro. Like, reds, dudes. Reds. Full on, like, the only way that could get any more hardcore is if they were like, I got some cartons of Lucky Strike here.
Or Camels or something.
Paul Mall, no filter.
Oh,
all of it makes me want to vomit, but, you know.
I always think of this and Dodgeball are my two favorite Rip Torn movies. Don't forget the 5 D's of Dodgeball. Dodge, duck, ditch, dive, dodge. There's Jay trying to put all the stories that he's heard together. There's Venus and some swamp gas and some flights and shit.
Yeah, he's literally throwing like every fucking thing together. And I just realized I thought of a movie that I don't know why I didn't say this one, but because I think it's classified as comedy. Although I'm loving our pick. I really am.
Yeah, me too. It is my show. I can, you know, decide whether stuff is a comedy or not. Then they come, oh, I got my informant, and you see this like creepy looking dude, and like you think that's the informant,
right? And you're like, ugh.
No, it's just a cute little pug wearing the I Love New York sweatshirt next to it.
I love him. So
hey,
much.
You don't like it? You can kiss my furry little butt.
I like that. Out of all the things that have happened so far, what he questions is Jay talking to a talking dog.
Shaking
him. That's what, I mean, Kay doing that. Mm-hmm. That's what Jay has a problem with, is that this dog talks. Dude, you delivered an alien baby. You've watched people get zapped and fix their stories. You know that a alien is inside Edgar. You know your third grade teacher was an alien. But your problem is that there's a talking dog. Like shaking him all over the place.
Like he's a rag doll.
What's funny is, could you imagine if they made this movie like now and they did this?
Oh, friggin' PETA and
oh, they would be like burning down the theaters.
And the millennials. Ugh. We were talking about Aladdin before. Oh my god, there's another podcast I listen to. Shall not be named. It was all millennials, and they shit all over Aladdin.
Really?
Yeah. Like, oh, it's not a fair representation of Agrabah is not a real place, you assholes.
Right. It's a made-up place, so it doesn't matter. I understand you're saying it's not a representation of the people of that era and country or part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, that country's not real.
Yeah. Oh, Jay figured out now who they're going to find the cat.
Right.
Oh, and there's the cat at the morgue.
And then she's having a moment where she's like, wait a second.
What is happening here?
She's a very bright. She's very bright, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not dumb.
Nah.
She's inquisitive. She's a lot like Jay in the fact that she questions things, but she doesn't get, like, all freaked out at the drop of a hat, either.
I tell you, I think she probably retained something.
There's no way you don't.
Or maybe she was just a believer to begin with.
Like, even if you have dreams, like, mm-hmm. at night, you know, because your brain processes things.
Yeah.
Your dreams. Like, even if she just sees these things in dreams and thinks, like, oh, that would be funny, or that's a funny story, or wouldn't that be interesting? I love this part.
With David Cross.
No. It's like a 3-year-old. Bong! Bong! Thank you.
Oh, my God. Look how young David Cross looks. Holy shit.
My God. You know, and now all I can see of him is those Chipmunk movies.
Ah!
Those Chipmunk movies. I like that face. I'm dead bad.
A boycott. It's a dear friend of mine. Oh.
How in the hell? How do you hold your mouth that way? Like, that's impressive. Because I don't mean this rudely, but like that's how your mouth does if you had like a stroke or something. Yeah. That's not natural. Or like when my jaw's locked.
I need written proof of that. Huh? And don't.
Right.
Oh no! Now you done it.
You done effed up.
Damn boy.
Ugh. Blech. Okay, so what I was telling you earlier down here, mm-hmm. when I first moved here, they're like, oh, yeah, that's just a palmetto bug. And I'm like, call it whatever the fuck you want. That's a roach, and it's got to die.
At the Bronx Zoo, they have the Madagascar exhibit, and they have the hissing Madagascar cockroaches, which are like,
yes.
like a few times the size of those damn things.
Yeah, we saw those at, I forget which zoo. And they do, I mean, don't get me wrong, they make an interesting, like, it's interesting.
Yeah.
But,
Edgar suit guy is pissed.
Isn't that like what most everybody in our group officially? It's just the Edgar suit.
Yeah.
Like, do we ever know that? You know, because some of these aliens, like, we know their name.
No, I don't think we ever get a name of the bug.
Edgar suit is deteriorating, by the way.
Yeah.
If you've not noticed, it's like one eyeball is all like. Blind, whited, glossed over.
I'm Sergeant Friday.
26th Precinct. Witness to a murder case.
Damn, girl, you start fast, don't you?
I love how he just jumps to the conclusion that she's getting fresh.
And she's like, he's just not picking up on the signals, like, something's going on here.
Right.
Yeah. She thinks she's pointing at something else. She's pointing down, you know what I mean? Even the alien thinks he's full of shit.
The alien's like, oh my God. And Edgar's been pretty dumb.
Uh-oh.
Gloop, 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 gloop.
Ugh. And there's poor David Cross, all dead up on the ceiling.
Is he dead?
Well, I think he is. He doesn't move. Oh. Shit's going down. Now they're like, let her go, shit eater.
I love how, like, they're just having this whole discussion about, you know, I thought you were hitting on me.
Like, no. Meanwhile, he's got, like, a gun to her face. It's going to be okay. I mean, you know.
Oh, my God.
He just jumps out. She's a feisty one.
I would just like to point out that if that had actually happened, she'd been, like, all cut up and stuff. I'm just saying.
There's a cab.
You know, David Cross has actually done voiceover work for a lot of cartoon movies.
Ugh. I mean, now he's really Yeah.
Sorry, that had nothing to do with David Cross doing voiceover work.
And then he swallows the galaxy. Oh, no. Favorite cab driver in movies, Del Pinder?
Yes.
Oh, Mr. Poole. Bantu. Now he shows up in everything, and my kids are like, it's Del Pinder!
I love him. We've talked to him about him on a podcast before.
Yeah, probably. Oh, yeah, he was in Pokemon Detective Pikachu. He was, like, in the opening scene. That was it.
Which is really funny, because, like, you know that Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool, and you know Ryan Reynolds' voice is Pikachu. Like, you know going into it. So it's really funny when you're like, ah!
It's Del Pinder.
It does make you wonder if they worked really well together or something, and he was like, yeah, give him, sure, yeah. Something.
I like you, kid. I'm going to put you in some other movies.
Right.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds, I just heard, is going to be in the Fast and Furious franchise. And then, that was yesterday, and then today I heard Kevin Smith is going to be, not Kevin Smith, Kevin Hart.
Okay, I might have to go back to the Fast and the Furious franchise fandom then.
I told Jenny I'm going to make her do the Hobbs and Shaw show.
I actually do want to see the Hobbs and Shaw.
That looks good.
It actually does look really funny. But, you know, I don't have a hatred for the man that my co-star does. I have a love for him. She has a hate. It's very complete opposite. I have nothing but nice things and amazing things to say about that man. And Jenny's like, bleh, bleh. I love how this statement is like, deliver the earth for the Gatler, deliver the galaxy, the earth will be destroyed. And then they're like, sorry.
An hour.
You're like, no, you're not.
Meanwhile, everybody's vacating and, like, saying, oh, we're out of here. Naming all those local places, Bayonne, Staten Island.
Right. Not like, gone.
Hey, old guys.
I like how other people stop and look, though. Do you notice? Like,
yeah.
The whole place.
Because he's the one that notices, hey, got those things at the World Fair.
Well, I mean, I guess the good thing, and they never really say the time frame. I've not really counted the days of how many days it has been since he's actually joined MIB and this has taken place. Because it's pretty quick that he joins that this happens.
Well, yeah, and also because they're on that 37-hour day now.
Right. So he remembers because Kay just showed him that that folder.
Yeah.
Like, they're probably not even thinking about it because they're used to it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, that's there. But I guess that having fresh eyes. This is also another one of my very favorite. This is probably one of my most favorite Kay moments.
Yeah.
We're getting right here.
Push the red button.
And it almost turns into like the Batmobile.
Yeah. Know.
Does it not look like the old, like, 90s Batmobile?
Yeah, or Dick Dastardly.
Here's the best part.
You like music? He puts Elvis on.
My favorite part. 8-track. And he's like, that's better. His hair's like, I need to sing it.
It is well
on his head, just going down and... Here, Will Smith gets the windshield. He's like trying to get back into his seat. He just, gravity is not allowing this to take place.
Well, he didn't listen. He told him to put his seatbelt on.
You know, this would have made a really cool ride, too. I like how it now his head's going back and forth, back and forth. He's like, KK! Oh, my God.
You know, Elvis dead? No, he just went home.
Oh, sweet, oh, sweet cherry.
Exact hole. There was no easy pass back then.
Oh, which reminds me, I actually have to get on the Florida Pass website and pay my, they have some coin back from Jenny's house the way I prefer to go. Because, you know, Jenny lefted me. you just keep going. There's a sign. It says, just keep going, which is fantastic. So they just take a picture of your license plate, and then you get the bill later.
Wow.
Believe it or not, I went to Jenny's in, like, January.
Yeah.
And I just, like, 3 weeks ago got the bill, and I, like, laid it on the corner of my desk and forgot about it. So you just made me.
I actually have
$50.
Yeah. Oh, God. I have a New York, New Jersey Easy Pass. Because I go to New Jersey a lot with my family's house down there. And I think the George, I think, is like, George is like $18 without the Easy Pass.
Oh, my God. See, now you can buy that. I only got my picture taken at one, and then I went through one where I had to give cash, order stuff. Now, that one was like $4 or $5, and then the one that I went through that just took my picture was $3. So I spent like $8 total. Now, and I know there's a way to go without going that way, but I just prefer it because then I come out through back roads and I feel like I get there and back quicker and I like the ride better.
Now we got the you got the bridges and then you got the Garden State Parkway, yeah. You got the near New Jersey Turnpike. I mean, Connecticut, we're supposed to be getting tolls all over the fucking place here.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, lovely new governor of ours.
I like how he just dumped her in a tree, by
the way. It's like, there you go.
Like, you're of no use to me.
I like how she's wearing short skirts the whole movie. Hey!
And you know, well, here's what's funny. So she's in a short skirt, and then at one point, like, she's leaning over, but yet they don't manage, like, they show none of her parts. Like, they do it well.
I think that Met player was Bernard Gilkey, I think. I'm sure Chris Cole is going to yell at me if I get it wrong, but he's a Met fan. So the
I'm a Mets fan, so I'm not certain.
So they're over Shea Stadium, which is no longer there.
It's not, is it?
No, it's Citi Field now. It was built. It's just a beautiful stadium. Crappy team, but beautiful stadium.
Apparently, it is my week to watch movies with baseball stadiums.
I guess, yeah. Isn't Fenway Park in Godzilla?
It is. Yeah. Very heavily in. Yeah.
All right.
I like how this is just like, I would just like to point out that dust and dirt would have been way worse on them. But, like, how stoic and amazing does it make Tommy Lee Jones to put his hair, like, blowing and... He's one handsome man right there.
As Tim would say, H-M-H.
Yes.
Yeah, they just took down the ship that he commandeered with those, you know. And here comes Edgar out. And Jay finally gets a big ass gun.
Which, I mean, the noisy cricket was doing well.
I know. It's much more. Oh, yeah, the Edgar suit is like.
I like how he's like, you milk suckers.
He almost looks like a zombie.
Now, the Edgar suit is really horrible at this point.
Yeah. Put your hands on your head. Oh, like this? Put my hands up on my head. Like this.
You do a really good Edgar voice.
Oh, thank you.
It's bloated. This part.
Uh-oh. Yeah. And we get to see what was really inside the Edgar suit. Jay's like, what the fuck?
Again, so we've gone through all of this, and Frank the Pug is what, like, made him go, what? And then now this guy, he's like, okay. Like, this is what does it? Like, I just want to point out, he's seen some pretty weird stuff, and like, you know.
I'm going to get my gun back.
I love this.
This is a pretty cool looking. This is a pretty good, cool looking bug, though.
I guess, for sure.
Like, it's badass.
Gut sucking intestinal paranite. Eat me!
Eat me!
Eat me!
Thank God he swallows them whole and doesn't chew them. That would have really backfired if he had, like, chomped them down, you know? He's like, hey! That's a huge-ass bug that got in that Egger suit.
Oh, my God, right?
He's just, like, pushing them around.
It leads even more questions to, how did he eat Egger and spit out just the suit that quickly? Because, I mean, he's just eaten, you know, K there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I like how this tree is on fire, but yet nothing else has caught on fire yet. I'd just like to point out it was laying on the ground where other things could have caught on fire. Right next to, like, a whole miniature forest, but yet nothing is on fire but this branch. I think it's so on fire that if you notice, there's actually blue flame.
Ah.
Akuna is waving it. There's like some blue flame in there.
I was just trying to hold on like a rodeo.
For dear life, right? Again, what an amazing ride that would have been.
Yeah, who can hold on to the giant cockroach?
Poor Will Smith, he has now had like probably multiple concussions in the past 48 hours. And how? How do you fall out of a tree in a short skirt and not show your butt or your lady thing?
Anything. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. I'm telling you right now, if I'd fallen out of a tree, everybody would have seen everything. And I'd probably had something broken, and I wouldn't be able to move, and the EMTs and everybody would continue to see everything.
You know, he's just like, oh, I'm going to get him. I'm going to hit him where it hurts. All them big-ass cockroaches. Oh, was that your auntie?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Bug's like,
I love how he says auntie. Your uncle.
And all that stuff. All that stuff is squirting out of the bugs.
I know
that. Yeah, we're all fine with all the other stuff, and then like the bugs, it's like,
I know you and I are like, oh.
It's not a bug movie.
Well. Snatching
up galaxies. My attitude is don't start nothing.
Start nothing.
Don't do nothing.
Be nothing. Ugh. Now that does kind of gross me out a little.
You better ease up out my face.
Like pincer things that like fold into his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I love this. I would probably vomit at this point, and then Kay would look at me and be like, all the things, and now you're going to vomit? I'm going to be like, oh.
They got the galaxy back, at least. Yeah, just sitting there with slime all over them and stuff. Okay. Just,
I like how he just like pops open his phone. And it's the other thing, it's 97, so we really don't have phones like that, you know.
That's right. I was here doing all the work. First, I had to beat him in the head with a big rock. You know, it hurt. He kicked me, you know, but it hurt. I'm okay. This is the first time I was actually looking behind Will Smith, and I saw the bug moving. I never noticed that before.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
See, now, if you look, there's nothing. You don't see anything.
Yeah. Bug was about to snatch up Will Smith. And there's the morgue lady.
I like how, as observant as Kay is, that he didn't even notice it. Like, he didn't even hear it happening.
He's like, no, don't flashy finger. Who are you going to tell? She's just hanging with dead people.
Well, and if you think about it, she could be a true asset if you left her in the coroner's office and didn't flashy thing her.
And Kay's like, no, the flashy thing is for me.
And then he goes back to what the old guy at the beginning said. What was it? D? Major D?
Yeah.
The just stars, they're beautiful, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't remember. Haven't been training a partner, I've been training a replacement. She looks pretty good for all that stuff.
I like how she's still like, she's still completely like, she just killed an alien and she's like, guys, this is my apartment, is not close to here. Figure this shit out. Like, I'm over this. Can your bro talk be done? Like, she's just done. She's like, whatever. And this is like a truly touching moment. Again, I don't know how many hours these two have actually spent together, but they've obviously developed a bond, which we see later on in the franchise. Why Kay feels that attachment to Jay very early on. Poor Will Smith's little, it's even pouting out like he's going to cry.
Yeah, he's like, see you around. No, you won't. And you see the dirt sheets, which are the papers, which are everything is all actually true.
You know, I don't see any like those anymore. You remember the one that used to have like Bat Boy, just like these their show us now. I used to.
You still see the Inquirer and stuff at the supermarket.
Oh, I guess ours just doesn't carry it. Yeah. I used to think it was funny. Like, I knew it wasn't real, but it was like funny thing to waste your $2 on just to like read. Just why not? You know, the same reason like why do people buy fan fiction kind of deal.
Now they have like a little updated look here.
I don't know. Those glasses kind of remind me of something he ends up wearing in Wild Wild West.
And she's a. So why has she got to be like a man in black? Why can't she be a woman in black?
And that's a good point. I think it's like a generalized.
Yeah, it's just a general title.
Right.
And they do a little pull-out, show us how small and insignificant we really are in the scope of the whole universe.
Which is both terrifying and amazing and leads to question. I don't know if I talked about this on podcast or but I remember discussing recently with someone, like, how do we not know?
Yeah. Yeah, we're just a tiny speck in a marble of some alien kid.
Well, I mean, not that part, but like, how do we not know that other galaxies? You know, we do know other galaxies are out there. So how do we not know that there's not more of, you know, what we are? Yeah. Other.
What do you think of Men in Black when the song came out? Are you a fan of it?
I actually really, really like. Yes, I really like Men in Black song.
Well, I loved how they sampled "Forget Me Nots."
All the words to it, like.
Wow, Mini-Me was in this movie.
What's
really? Vern Troyer, yeah, he was Alien's son.
I see that.
But yeah, he was, I don't know, did you know the song Forget Me Nots? It was like, kind of, it was like from the 70s, a little disco song. I love that they used that as the sample. And when I was actually DJing when that came out, so I was actually learning how to try to mix between the two. I only hit it like once every like five times. Once every five times, I think. Awesome, huh? That was a fun movie. Galaxy Defenders.
That's why I have a problem with the international title. Galaxy Defenders. So that would have been really cool if it was like Men in Black, Galaxy Defenders.
Ah. Maybe that's the next movie.
Okay. And I understand what they're saying is this is the office, like, across the pond. Like,
they're in London.
Area has their own office. So I get that's what they're saying. I kind of am trying not to have high expectations for this movie, but I think when it's one of your favorite franchise / fandoms, you don't mean to, but you have them.
Let's see. So it comes out. The reason why we did this now.
Yes.
So this comes out on... the 14th of, so we're recording on the 3rd. So it's going to have, let's see, Aladdin will probably still be hanging around, Godzilla, Rocket Man, Longshot, Dark Phoenix, Secret Life of Pets 2 all come out within a couple weeks before, and then Shaft comes out.
Comes out this weekend.
Yeah, it comes out this weekend with Dark Phoenix, and then Shaft comes out, and then it's got a week before Toy Story 4 comes out, so.
Which, funny story, we left Godzilla yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I sent my son on in with my friends to sit down because I didn't want him to possibly miss any of the movie. Mm-hmm. And the line for, like, popcorn and stuff was really long, which I ended up getting in there when the preview for Joker was in the middle of it.
Ah.
Which I'd seen it already. Mm-hmm. But that's the point I got it into there. So Caden saw the preview for It, Shaft. And I forget, he covered his eyes during parts of It, but then he saw the preview for Shaft, and he was like, can we see it? And I'm like, me and one of my best friends at the same time were like, no.
No. No, my I can't remember. My son begged for Deadpool for so long, I finally caved and let him watch it.
We caved when they did Once Upon a Deadpool, and they turned 2 into a PG-13 and released it in a theater, which, by the way, if you've not seen that version, for anyone that didn't go see that version because they were like, ah, I've already seen the movie, you have to do yourself the justice of seeing it as Once Upon a Deadpool, because there is just something about adding that, because, you know, he essentially, it's done kind of like Princess Bride, where he's telling the story to him.
Yeah.
And it is. It's the kid from Princess Bride.
Yeah, it's Fred Savage. Oh,
Fred Savage there. Taped to the bed.
See, Princess Bride, that would be, that qualifies for Laughing Theater.
Okay, well, Princess Bride, so you can add to my list of things if you ever want Miranda back on. Maybe like, she's not that funny, and her movie was not that funny. I say, for shame, scoff you.
For shame.
Getting, yeah. Nigget.
Ah. No. Miranda's always welcome on Laughing Theater.
And thank you.
And, you know, as I alluded to earlier, Miranda was kind enough to record the open, so you hear Miranda on every episode of Laughing Theater.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
Which I make fun of myself when I hear it. So, yeah, you can, to the list that I already have going, you can add Princess Bride and Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. So, if they're on that list, no one else is allowed to claim them until you and I decide what we're doing for season 2.
All right.
So I claim rights to my originals that I named earlier, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and Princess Bride.
All right, I'm going to write that down right now. Don't Tell Mom and Princess Bride. I had to reenact the sword fight scene when I was pledging my fraternity.
Oh, God.
I see you using Benetti's defense against me. Oh, I consider the rocky terrain apropos. I just need to tell you, though, I am not left-handed.
Oh, I reenact, which I know you're not a huge Monty Python fan, but I did once for a sorority thing that we had to do. We did the Black Knight beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Come back here, I'll bite your legs off.
Oh, God. Speaking of British accents.
It's me, it's flesh.
I'm not going to say what the movie is, but there's going to be a lot of British accent on the next episode with Mr. Greg Phillips of the Hard Traveling Fanboys is appearing on the next episode.
Greg is one of my favorite voice people.
Mm-hmm.
He is just talented beyond belief.
Oh, yeah.
Never listen to Greg. You should definitely listen to Greg. He is one of the mad mind geniuses behind when we do comic book theater here on Please to Be Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love that I can call him a friend. He's a fantastic friend. But he has an amazing voice ability there. That, yeah.
Yeah, his JR impression is incredible. Good old Jim Ross. I told him, I said, we should do a show together where he's Jim Ross and I can go between Johnny Ace and Mauro Ranallo.
That'd be interesting.
Because I do a little bit of, my name is John Laurinaitis, and I'm the former vice president of talent relations for the WWE. And then, Mauro Ranallo, he's gonna do a top rope Cena on my card. So.
Oh, that is great.
So yeah, poor Scott Cuscolo. I was doing that all night at the takeover.
So actually, I don't know if you follow any of the stuff that, I mean, I know you follow, several of, you know, us down here, but mm-hmm. actually Jim Ross is coming. We have a local, convention down here, mm-hmm. That takes place in October. And Jim Ross is actually one of the guests, one of the special guests.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's very cool. I hope you guys, some of you guys go.
Yes. Oh yes. We're all going.
that's the Place of a Nation, South contingent.
Yes. The South crew down here.
I'm part of the Northeast. Yeah, it was
great. Southeast.
Yeah. It was great. Actually, we went to, a bunch of us went to Takeover this past weekend. It was myself, Mr. Criscolo, John Arsenio D'Amato, Dr. G was there, Armento, who was mentioned on the shows a lot, and then Justin and Jeff of Jeff Loves Wrestling. And we ran into Glennie. Glennie Bunn was there, Mr. Glenn Butler, who is, you know, just an awesome dude. He lives actually one town over from me now, so
cool.
it was quite a treat to just see Glenn and his brother and his boyfriend Boyce. You know, they're good people. So yeah, it's great. That's what we're talking about here. Like, you know, the Men in Black, Place to Be Nation. It's late and I've had a couple of drinks. You know, that's the best part is everybody. You know, we're all friends here. You know, when we get together, we have our little pockets, you know, of where everybody is. I mean, we have a few people on the West Coast that I think get together once in a blue moon. Mm-hmm. We got Todd out there. We got
a little bit more spread out.
Yeah, Todd's in Northern California. I think Mark Claire's in L.A. and Ben Morse is in Vegas. And we have, like, some people up in the Central North with, like, Mr. Steve Willey in Wisconsin and Jordan over in Jordan's over by Detroit, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all over the place, but we managed to get together through the magic of Skype.
We do.
So, what's going on with Geek and Sassy? You guys, I know you guys are on a bit of a hiatus till you get your.
We are on a bit of a break.
Your work done.
But we are going to record an episode before my surgery, mm-hmm. which finally has been figured out.
Okay.
It's taking place in August. So we are actually going to be recording before then. We're gonna have a special guest.
Ooh, very and exciting!
Maybe talk some upside down.
Ooh, wow! A little tease there, as they call it in the biz.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. I'll be watching and I'll be listening to you guys. So, and then this is going to be a hell of a. Run for one of them streaming services there.
Oh, for sure.
Because we got that, and then we got GLOW Season 3 coming up in August.
Yes.
So I'm
amazing show.
Yes. Oh, God. So good. I want to go back. I got to go back and rewatch the first two seasons.
I think that's what I may do, is go back and do, like, all over again. Because it's a pretty quick get through.
I tried to go to a GLOW event because... I'm actually an Emmy voter.
Okay.
Through what I do. So they have events. Most of them are in LA, but they do some in New York. And they've actually done a lot more. And I got into a GLOW event, and it was all the way down, though, in the city, like Bleecker Street. Like, it was, like, literally, like, it was a pain in the butt to get to. And we got stuck in so much traffic and got turned around that we got there, and it was in this little ass hotel ballroom. We couldn't get in.
Because of the amount of
people. We were late time. And there were no seats. Yeah, so we ended up eating dinner at the hotel in the thing, and then one of the actresses from Girls was there. So, I don't know.
Wow.
I didn't recognize it, but we did get into events for a divorce, where Ellen met Sarah Jessica Parker and got a picture with her, and then a week later we went to a Kimmy Schmidt event. And
oh, no,
we
that got, makes me jealous.
We got to meet Ellie Kemper and Jane Krakowski afterwards.
Yeah, no, see, now that's where I'm jealous.
And I couldn't tell you, they are two of the nicest people. I mean,
I've heard that from others.
Yeah, I mean, Titus was there, Tina Fey was there, Cal came, but none of them went to the little, they have usually a little food, drink thing afterwards.
Okay.
And they were so, Ellie and Jane were so nice, but then you have, like, these people that try to have a conversation with them when you have, like, a line of people, we just want to say hello, nice to meet you, take a picture with you. That's all we want to do.
Right.
And it's so funny. And Ellen, my girlfriend Ellen, doesn't really like to be called Ellie. And it's so funny. We get up there and she's like, my name's Ellie too.
I'm the same way because apparently a lot of girls that are named Miranda are called like Mandy.
Oh yeah. I thought Randy.
I don't care for that. Yeah. I've had several people in my life be like, oh, Mandy. And I'm like, no. Now my Miranda. Family does call me, Randa, which is another short for Miranda. I'm okay with Randa cause that's what my family calls me. But Mandy, when people call me Mandy, I'm like, no.
Yeah. And Jane Krakowski is so nice. It was so funny. Somebody like literally just hands me their phone and she goes and wants to take a picture of him. She goes, I guess you're the photographer today. I'm like, I guess so. And then she just looked at me and said, thank you for doing it. I said, no problem. Yeah. They were very, very nice.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's great. Listen, stay tuned to the pop feed for Geek and Sassy. For myself, like I said, I have Mr. Phillips coming on the next episode of Laugh in Theater. We're going to be talking about a very groovy movie. And that's the tease.
That's what I thought.
That's the tease I will give you. After that, I have a few more people lined up. I believe Mr. Reish will be coming on soon to do one of my favorite movies from about, I was probably around 12, 13 years old, 14 years old when it came out. To this day, you know, I don't know if it holds up, but it's still a great memory. Mr. Rosero, JT is going to come on, and John Arsenio D'Amato will be coming on Laughing Theater. So those are probably my next few episodes that are going to play out over the summer. Great Debate is coming back very soon, within a couple weeks. I have Scott Criscolo and Nick Duke lined up, and we'll have a third guest. That is still to be determined. And Year in Pop will be back with 1976 at the beginning of July. So I want to thank you for watching a movie with me tonight, Miranda.
Oh, thank you. This is actually my first live watch. Woohoo! Ever. I know a lot of you guys here at PTBN have done these multiple times. This is my first one.
Oh, actually, you know, it's funny. My first episode of Laugh in Theater was my first live watch.
Oh, cool.
I just jump in.
There you go.
So are you not into any horror movies or?
No, I actually talked to Jenny when she started the,
Freak Out Driving.
Her new podcast. Well, it's been out for a little while now, but her new venture, and said that I would pick one. I think I know what I would pick. It's a cheesy 90s flick.
You know what I want you guys to do? I think it's 80s, though, but you guys should do Lost Boys.
I would totally do Lost Boys.
You and Jenny talking about Lost Boys for a call, that would get me through my commute, I tell you.
Well, you know what? I will bring that up to Jenny, because I actually mentioned being on there. I told her that, you know, I didn't want to turn it into a Geek and Sassy, because that's very much Jenny's show. Mm-hmm. She's amazing at that show. It very much speaks to what Jenny loves. I think if you listen to Geek and Sassy, you know that Jenny and I have a lot in common, but we have separate loves, and we allow the other one to talk about it. Jenny loves horror.
Oh, yeah.
And she's so great at, like, explaining it and like getting you to want to be part of it.
Yeah, I was on an episode.
I do.
It was so much fun.
Which one did you do?
We did Dawn of the Dead, the remake.
Oh, yes.
And she hadn't seen it. She only and she watched about half of it before we recorded. And so about halfway through, like, she didn't know what was happening, what was coming up, and I'm like, oh man. And I knew when, like, the jump scares were coming, and it was great listening to her. Oh, shit!
Yeah. I did a few oh shits at Godzilla, I'll just be honest.
Oh, okay, awesome.
Yeah, but I think I have... Lost Boys is a great suggestion. I had another one that I was going to mention, but I think Lost Boys is better.
Yeah,
I did tell her that I would love to be a guest at some point on an episode of that with her.
Oh, yeah, one of the guys actually just died. The guy who played Paul. The long blonde hair.
Oh, yeah.
Vampire, yeah. I saw that online. So sad. He was only in his early 50s. But, yeah, that's a fun movie, though. I think you guys, the Geek and Sassy take, even though it's not a Geek and Sassy episode, but
right.
I think the Miranda Jenny take on Lost Boys while watching it would be really funny.
Well, I will definitely let her know that and see what we can maybe figure out.
And just remember, it's not a bird movie.
It's not a bird movie.
All right. So go check out all the shows on both feeds, on the wrestling feed and the boop feed that's chosen right now. Go to the website, placetobenation.com. The greatest song of the 80s tournament should be coming soon after you hear this. Just, you know, pay attention to all the social medias. We got lots of fun, lots of great articles. We have a 1994 project starting up very soon since it's 25 years. So go to the website, listen to Geek and Sassy, support everything we do here, because you know what? This is a great place here at the Nation. So for Miss Miranda Berthold, I am Andy Addison. Thank you for joining us. And for now, the theater is closed. We'll see you on the next showing. Take care, everybody.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com. For all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Chocolate? Fucking chocolate?
Oh, God.